Are you ready to listen to a podcast?
This is TripleYourClients.com with your host, Andy Brown.
Find, subscribe, and listen.
Expert marketing advice to triple your clients today.
Now you can start listening.
Welcome to episode 55 of TripleYourClients.com podcast. My name's Andy Brown, and as ever, it's a sheer pleasure to have you on board. Today's show's a little bit different. Decided just to come outside. I'm walking Sid twice a day. He's my bulldog, my best pal, Sid. And just thought, you know, let's just share some of the sounds of St. Andrews with you. Also, you know, sunny day. I didn't want to sit behind the desk all day long. And also wanted to do something else a little bit different because, you know, generally the last few weeks I've been talking about the news stories. And I wanted to give us some more personal thoughts about marketing and some takeaways for you. I've always been talking about fundamentals over the last few weeks. And I thought, why don't I just put them all together in one show so that I can kind of send people there if they're wondering, you know, to have some clarity maybe on their marketing. Or in future shows when I talk about fundamentals, I can say, look, just refer back to show 55 where I go into a little bit more detail. And hopefully it'll be a good resource in that way. So here I am, like I say, just walking along a place called the Lay Braes in St. Andrews, which is, I guess, sort of park, not parkland, it's a mixture of woodland and some hills, and there's a burn. Just going to go over a bridge here. Beautiful burn. It's a lovely sunny day, and hopefully it will last. I've got some family coming up in the next few days, so they're praying that it's going to last, and then but they always don't know what sort of clothes to wear when they come up to Scotland. You know, what do you pack? Is it your duffel coat or is it your bikini? So it's always a bit of a choice. So you end up with packing everything, I think, in the end. So here we go with a list and some of the lessons, I guess, life lessons, marketing lessons that I've sort of picked up over the last 20 years, I guess. My company's been running since 2002, but I really got into marketing when the internet kicked off in the mid-90s, so that would be 20 years, wouldn't it? Always been trying to leverage it to my business, to my benefit. So the first one is a list, building your list. They always say money's in the list. And I remember when I worked for some affiliate companies with their networks, so important to find the affiliates that had the list, because they're the ones that could get their offer out straight away. It was a powerful concept that I learned back then, and for every business owner now, I think it's something that you really need to take on board, that you really have a leverage when you have a list of prospects and clients, because in any one moment you can kind of just reach out there in the moment, send your offer and have a conversation. You know, that first email is a conversation. You get replies. That's always great when you get replies from fans and prospects asking questions. Maybe they want to buy something. Maybe just want to know more about what you've written in your email. So powerful. I built up a list of about 120,000 golfers. It's a few years ago now. It was a lot easier to do because the cost per click in AdWords was, say, 20, 30 pence. And they were buying a product which was a lot more than that. And the conversion was very good. So I just spent a lot of money building a big, big list. And it was a good business. I sold that business now, but that was just one strategy. And these strategies do change, because that's that strategy there where I was buying cheap clicks. I guess you could still do it to a degree if you've got an expensive product that converts. But the click price has matured, or has increased. You know, the marketplace has matured for that. So you always need to look at different strategies to build your list, and usually best not to rely on one, although I did principally I did rely on one in that instance, but probably not best to get all your eggs in one basket. Someone's just started their lawnmower over there. I guess I haven't cut my grass this year yet, so I guess it's going to be coming soon. So yes, we also got the list. List is so important. And I really, really urge you, if you're not being proactive in that department, if you're not tracking your metrics, your traffic, how many opt-ins you get on a weekly basis, then it's something that you really, really need to look into. Just having a bit of a sniff here. Right. So, once you got your list in place, what else should you concentrate on? Well, your platform. Goodness me, your platform's so important. And if you make the decision, well, you make the decision at the beginning, obviously when you're building your website, but you can get it wrong, you can get it so wrong. I did it big time. When blogging was just starting, I thought I'd go for the sort of premier product out there, the paid version. It was a product called Movable Type. Built a wedding blog on it. Wife wrote a lot of articles on that. And I dismissed WordPress because it was free. I didn't think it was really going to hang around very long. I was just caught up in recommendations for Movable Type. And there are still many websites using Movable Type, but it was the wrong choice, really. It compromised what I could do. You could see that the developers weren't really up to speed with new features in it. And like I say, there was a cost to it. And there wasn't the community. I mean, such a great thing about WordPress is the community and how you can just search online for any fix. And now about 22% of websites in the world are on WordPress. I know some people go for Joomla. And that's much better than going for one of these third-party websites where all the hosting is on there. You know, that's what you're paying for. They're hosting, they're maintaining the content management system. And you kind of got your fingers or your hands tied a little bit there. You know, you really want a database, essentially. That's what a WordPress website is, that you can move from one server to the next depending on where you are or in your business, you know, if you need to change that. You don't need to compromise yourself by having to rely on a third-party website. Now, I know there are if you're doing e-commerce, you would consider Shopify, and that would be like a third-party website. And I know that is Wiz and just other platforms I come across, particularly when people are saying to me, Andy, what would you recommend? And some of them I never heard of before, but I always go back to this principle that it's probably best, if you can, to go with WordPress. And if you don't really want to take on board the learning curve, then hire someone who's going to do the updates, who's going to upload your content. It's much better long-term solution to your marketing. And when we're talking about platform, we also, I guess, talk about where you're going to spend some of your time with your marketing, you know, your social media sites of this world. And there's new ones coming out fairly regularly. I've been talking about Meerkat and Periscope in the last few weeks, but then you've got the old favorites, Facebook, Twitter, and not so old, Snapchat and Yik Yak recently, although you wouldn't build a business platform on that. Well, not at the moment, but you're trying to take on board all of these and wonder what's the best direction to go. And it's tough, but I would say that you should concentrate on one of them or two of them, but not spread yourself so thin that you're not really developing a profile on any of them. I always say sometimes you should just stick with YouTube because it's search engine optimized content and it's going to bring you that traffic for many years to come. So it's a tough decision, and obviously Facebook changed all the rules at the beginning of the year where they essentially implied that to get exposure you're going to have to run a few more ads and get your wallet out. So, but it's always changing the landscape, isn't it? You've always got to be on your toes. I think it's tough. It's tough to work out where you should concentrate your efforts. But, I mean, it comes down to where is your audience? Where are they hanging out? They're not going to come to your website, so you've got to go to where they are. Maybe it's just Twitter, just being very vocal on Twitter, and you develop a presence and people naturally gravitate to what you're saying, resonate with what you're saying, and they check out your website. I've been reading a little bit more about these Twitter cards, which are... it's a card with your web address and a call to action on it, and it just makes it easier to recommend your website as a tweet. It's fairly new, you don't see many people talking about them at the moment, but it's just another one of these options and features that we come across. So, yes, sorting out your platform, very, very important. And it's typically done, obviously, at the beginning of your business journey. And if you do go for maybe a cheaper solution, something that's a little bit hands-off, that you don't own the full rights to all the data, then it might come back and nip you in the bum later on because you kind of made a false economy there by going cheaper at the beginning. So definitely something to think about at the beginning with your journey, your business journey. The third fundamental that I've got here is just being consistent, in so much that whilst we live in this fast-paced life on the internet, so much content whizzing past us, so many opportunities and features, and whilst it's so much easier to build an internet business than a retail business or a high street business, bricks and mortar business, you're going to have to put your line in the sand somewhere and say, this is what I'm about, and then spread the message. I mean, a couple of years ago when I started doing more consultancy and I became a jack of all trades, offering different consultancy to business owners locally and also internationally, it was successful, and so much of a message was out there that, yeah, Andy can do most things related to marketing, and I will write your content, publish your content, recommend a strategy, do your videos, AdWords, everything under the sun, basically. It became too much, really. But I was known for that. And so in recent times, the last sort of 6 months plus, where I've solely put my mark in the sand and said, look, I'm about AdWords. That's what I do. That's my service. I can recommend other people to do other parts of your business that you want help on. Once I did that, I was more focused in my messaging and my marketing, and people picked up on that more. They understood, right, this is what Andy's about. But the thing was, there are still many people out there that don't understand I made that transition. And I come up against it a lot, particularly locally. I haven't seen people, and they say, are you still doing this? Or can you just help my friend doing something? And I have to go through a conversation saying, look, things have changed, but I can still help you. I can recommend A, B, or C. And if you're looking for paid traffic, then maybe I can help in that way. But if I've been consistent from the beginning and got my message out, then things would have been a lot easier. So, and also when I say consistent, I mean consistent in your delivery of your content, these weekly podcasts. Since I got back in the game, and this is, I believe it's the 14th one in a row, somewhere around there, I'm losing track, but it's almost, well, it's become a habit. And you've got to stick to your habits, really, to get something productive out of it. You know what? I'm standing here out on the Lade Braes and I need some water. I should have brought a bottle of water. It's so hot out here. My bulldog, he's running along here, having some fun, rolling on his back. And I should have brought a drink, actually. My lips are getting dry. But anyway, let's get back to the consistent element of your marketing. So whatever you set your stall out to do, whether it's a weekly blog, weekly podcast, just be consistent and you're not going to get results overnight. In past shows, I've talked about some of these YouTubers with millions of people subscribing to their platforms. I always find it quite intriguing going back and looking at their oldest video. And often it's 3 or 4 years ago and they stuck to it. And they probably started, like I say, 3 or 4 years ago, and there was no idea that they were going to get paid for it. This was in the early days of getting monetization on YouTube. They had a dream, they had a passion for it, and they saw maybe some other people doing something similar, but that's not enough. You know, it's got to come from within, and you know, you've got to just drive yourself through it. And you know, people say, oh, it's lucky they're just getting paid to do these funny, entertaining videos. It's easy for them. But I'll tell you what, many a times I bet where they thought, especially in the early days, is it really worth it? All the editing and retakes, and they'd rather be out enjoying time with the friends, but they stuck with it. And that's a lesson, I think, for all marketers, really. You've got to keep consistent over time with whatever you set your stall out to do. And because the internet is recording everything that we do, that's a kind of good, because people can go back and see that you're a solid player in your market and not a one-hit wonder. So yeah, just keep it consistent. The fourth fundamental that I always go on about is the storytelling. It's how do you differentiate yourself from other people when you come to marketing? Everyone has their own story, so you need to get that in your head defined what elements of it are you willing to make public, or what aren't you, maybe the mistakes you made. I'm quite open with the mistakes I've made. Everyone's made mistakes. And I was reading about Blockbuster the other day, how they had three chances to buy Netflix at about $50 million. It was something really cheap, but they decided they want to stick to retail. Obviously a big mistake when you look back on it, but maybe made sense to them back then. But yeah, mistakes come in all sizes, don't they? But one I made was Vidler. Vidler was a video platform, still is, but Gary Vaynerchuk back in the day of Crush It, and his book came out, recommended it as a video hosting service, and I had all these golf videos. I had a golf show effectively, but I put it on Vidler and I dismissed YouTube, and I shouldn't have. And Gary's even come out with this fact that he now regrets what he did and it was a mistake. So my mistake was effectively following Gary Vaynerchuk and just following him and taking on his advice. I mean, 99% of his advice is spot on. But I made that mistake. I should have seen that YouTube was going to become the bigger platform. And already back then, the community was there with YouTube. And I should have seen that. You've got to go to where your audience is hanging out, where there's an existing community. Just because someone comes along with a flashy new technology, that's no good. It's, are people gravitating to it? Are your prospects and customers hanging out there? Is it going to grow? These sort of things should be on your mind. And they weren't at the time when I decided to put all my videos on Vidler. And I had a big email list, and I was sending them to the Vidler videos instead of YouTube. So, yes, it's our lessons are out there, aren't they, to be learned all the time. And if you incorporate them into your storytelling, then at least you can take advantage of them and make yourself seem more human. It goes back to some of the shows I've done about the About page, that it's not just about your product, is it? It's about who you are and why you decide to set up the business and some of your ambitions for your business and how you'd like them to be part of the journey and just being humble. So, yeah, keep your storytelling going. Never send out a drab, boring email. Always try to put a little bit of personality in there, and you're going to just have more friends and keen fans who want to open your emails rather than delete them. So, yeah, go with that. The fifth fundamental is copywriting. Copywriting can mean so many different things to so many different people, can't it? It can mean just the copy you write in your AdWords ad. It can be the copy that you have to sweat over for days and days with a sales letter. It can be just a simple copy you use on your homepage. It can be the copy you put on a post that you send out. It can be the copy that you put on a business card. So and then within that there are fundamentals of how you write your copy. I always talk about the features and benefits, and talking about you rather than we, and maybe using social proof. We'll talk about it a little bit later, but there's a whole structure that I've talked about, how you set out your sales letters and your copy on your website. It's so vitally important, really, really is. And I guess that's one of the main skills. When I first got into internet marketing, there's a website still going called sitesell.com, sitesell.com. And they gave out some free ebook resources on copywriting. That was my first introduction to it. And it's pivotal, really, and everything else after that, because everyone can write or create a product back in the day, a digital product. I guess they still can. I mean, what were the online training stats I was talking about last week? But can they write a sales letter that will drive sales and traffic? There's a big difference between those who can write poor copy and those who can write very, very good, compelling copy. And as a business owner, you probably haven't got time to dwell too much on learning how to write great copy, but I really suggest that you take time out to at least either hire a copywriter, but more importantly, I think, is just to study, you know, buy some books on Amazon and just study a little bit more how to improve it. It will make a massive difference to the engagement you have on your website. And it's never going to go away. The fundamentals of copywriting that existed 100 years ago in all probability will be around in another 100 years. At least another 20 or 30. Who knows what's going to be happening beyond then. So, and another fundamental, number 6 out of 10. Just to recap, we've had list, platform, being consistent, storytelling, copywriting. And number 6 is your funnel. Now, if you're building a business, particularly where you rely on internet traffic, and you've got a great website, and you've got copy there, you've got your product, you've got your email list, you've got everything really geared up for a successful launch, where's your traffic going to come from? Now, I would say, if you have dismissed your traffic that's coming into your funnel, then it's going to be tough selling anything, because you know, most of your prospects and customers aren't going to be bothering to come to your website. They're going to need to have a reason to do that. And often it is just searching on Google. They got a problem, they search on it. If you provided a good answer, in so much it gets indexed well and it gets ranked high, then obviously they click through to your website. Bingo. You've got payback for the time you spent writing that blog post. And I mean, that means that for future years, you're getting further payback. I've got a very good article, even though I set myself, on how to write headlines for AdWords. And it brings in, I think, over 300 uniques per month. And it's a wake-up call for me, really, to write more content like that, because that's been bringing that qualified traffic to my website for a long, long time now, based on just that one blog post. And it is the kind of ideal prospect for me, someone who's looking for help with their AdWords. And so kind of need to take my own medicine there, where I develop the top end of my funnel, i.e. the traffic coming into the funnel, because that's so easy to lose sight of, and you shouldn't really be relying too much on one way of getting traffic. You know, so I'm talking about blog posts here, SEO, typical content marketing, as I like to talk about this kind of marketing. It's more about answering the questions, getting indexed for the questions people are searching on, not playing tricks, just fundamentals. Get the keyword at the beginning of the title. Make sure you mention it once or twice in the opening paragraph. Write maybe 800 to 1,000 words minimum. Definitely spend some time writing a good description. Not that it's going to affect the search engine optimization, but it will appear in Google and be part of the reason as to why someone will click through. It gets back to copywriting, really, because you need to write a bit of succinct copywriting segment. So that, for instance, you could say, are you suffering from back pain? If so, read our review on a number of techniques that we offer. But you open the copywriting there with a little bit of a question, as opposed to all your competitors will basically said, you know, we are a chiropractic clinic or an osteopath, and we are based in XYZ town, and we do all this, and it's really not geared up to the problem someone had. You know, they're searching about their back pain in this example. So yes, just 4 or 5 different principles really to tick off when you're writing your content there, which is all geared around, like I say, getting your funnel right. And once you've got your funnel right, you need to put the traffic in the top of it. Every business obviously has a different type of funnel, and many of them for online businesses, it's all about just, you know, you can't answer their problem straight away, or you can't sell the product straight away. So you need to offer a free gift, a resource, something compelling that they can't get anywhere else. Now, the only problem there is here in 2015, it's kind of been done to death, this sort of opt-in and get a free book on X, Y, and Z. You need to be a little bit more creative nowadays. And I believe one of the best ways is, like, you offer like a 5-day course on solving whatever problem they have. Or maybe a video course or a written course that they get once a day, but really get quite specific. And you see some of these gurus talking about you have your blog post, and then the lead generation at the bottom of it, i.e. the opt-in, is just further resources to complement what they've been talking about in the blog post. So you don't tend to have this sort of site-wide opt-in for your website, because that's really going to be a little bit untargeted for most of the people coming to your website. So it takes a lot of time and effort to write a different opt-in lead generation resource, whatever you want to call it, for each part of your business. But you know, it's building your list. So it is something that really needs to be been done. I need to write a course, a 5-day course. I keep talking about it. I need to get on with it for AdWords, which will be much better than the current 17 mistakes that you can make with your AdWords. That's kind of a little bit old school, a little bit dated really, and where I think marketing is at the moment. So I need to put the effort in and be more useful. As Jay Bear says in his book, Utility, be more useful, make a difference, be the one that stands out, because you really are providing some assistance there and then, and you're not just being seen as someone who's just like grabbing their email address and then firing off a whole series of emails that they can be relevant, but who's got the time to read all the emails? You've got to be answering their pertinent question every single time, I believe. Otherwise, you soon distance yourself from someone that was quite keen to learn from you at the very beginning of when they signed up. So, yes, that was number 6, the funnel. 7, social proof. Now, I say it's a fundamental because it's a differentiator. Is that a word? It differentiates you from your competitors, in so much as I see so many businesses don't leverage the impact they have from posting social media. So by that, I mean the testimonials and the videos and just telling the story of people that were successful with your product or service. It's easy to do, in so much it's there in front of you. You just need to learn the skills to ask for these testimonials. I've written about it before, where it's a video one or a written one. And then you don't just put them all on one page. You basically have them throughout your website. So it's kind of the whole flavor of the website is how you've been helping other people, like the person who's reading your website. And then a lot of my emails end with a little testimonial. So again, it's not just my voice, it's someone else's voice. And if you stick with it diligently, you know, getting 2 or 3 testimonials every month, give it a few years and you have, like I say, a pack of testimonials that you can use in your marketing in different ways. And it's powerful. It seems to be the last thing people do. It's almost like a hardship to reach out and get these testimonials, and they believe that people aren't going to believe them. They think in 2015 that all the scams that we've been suffering from over the last few years and decades, that people are just like going to ignore them. But I believe that you need them. You do need them. If you can get photos and, you know, you actually put someone's name there and the city name or the town name, that goes a long way, a really long way to improving your conversion. I got a testimony on my business card. I think that's pretty powerful when you hand it to someone. You know, it's like, don't just listen to me, listen to someone else. And there's a little bit of a story within that testimonial as well. So just everything layers on top of each other. But yeah, definitely put that somewhere near the top of what you're going to concentrate on with your marketing. Number 8 is outsourcing. Depending on your size of your business, that will come naturally to you because you realize you're a manager and you're not going to do everything. The smaller businesses, maybe a small business where you're a dentist, a chiropractor, an osteopath, maybe a small garage, just any kind of business which has got 3 or 4 people and you're the business owner and you're still working in the business rather than on it, it's very difficult to find time to either do it yourself or maybe train up someone within your organization to spend a few hours doing the marketing. And so with that all in mind, I would definitely recommend that you look to outsource. I use a website called Odesk.com. For many years, I used Elance.com. They're now basically the same company, even though it's 2 different websites. They're owned by the same company. Both of them are very good websites where you can go on and you can find someone that's going to do a task for you. I mean, I've got people that will take a Word document, turn it into HTML for me. People that will create graphics for the Kindle books that I publish. What else? Got writers. In the past, when I had promised to a client that I'd deliver 5 or 6 blog posts every month, then I would do the research. Actually, I had someone, I saw someone do the research, but so then I would pass whatever research I did onto a writer that I outsourced to. So I do remember a few years ago when I actually counted up how many outsources I depended on. It was about 9 or 10, and I haven't used them recently too much because I have really consolidated down to just doing AdWords. I don't need so much outsourcing, but still got a few. I mean, the last one I used was a copy editor from my latest Kindle book. Someone based in Northern Ireland, and also the cover with someone based down in Argentina, and I've got someone in Eastern Europe who's doing my HTML. Sometimes you write the message to them saying thank you very much and can you do this and that, and it's a weird and wonderful thing called the internet. Sometimes it makes you feel like they're on your doorstep, but it's incredible really that they're thousands of miles away. But you're working as a team, and that's the power that you get from a service like Odesk. So yeah, take it on board. If you need to, if you're struggling with getting your marketing done, then you can definitely look to odesk.com, and also Fiverr, Fiverr.com. People shouting their dog over there. And yeah, so much going on in that respect to help you out. Number 9. Is people, and by that I mean the people you surround yourself with, your mastermind groups, just the surrounding yourself with positive people in your marketing. You're going to get down sometimes because things aren't happening as fast as you would like. You need ideas. You need to be informed of what's going on. You need friendship sometimes if you're running a one-man band and you're behind your desk all day long. So the people you surround yourself with is vitally important in your marketing. I have a mastermind group which we get together every month, but I think it's working out every 6 weeks at the moment. But it's so powerful when we get together for 2 or 3 hours and we talk about each other's plans for the future, our struggles. We need advice on different things. We hear stories from each other, and you always go away motivated with a new lease of life to attack your marketing. So definitely reach out, and it can just be another friend of yours, you know, with the marketing, and you can just get together for a coffee or a beer. And it's, the only important thing really is accountability. We set goals at the beginning of the year, so you need to be pretty tough on that. When you, although they are friends, you need to sort of say, how come you're working on this now when last week or a month ago you said that you were planning to do something else. So sometimes you need to, a bit of tough love works, but it's all part of it, you know, surrounding yourself with the right people. And we use a software app called Slack, S-L-A-C-K. Great for continuing that banter and that conversation when you're away from your meeting. So that when you come to the meeting, it's not like you haven't spoken to each other for four or six weeks. You have been communicating with them. So number 10 is focus. I always say focus is follow one course until successful. I heard that at a conference years ago, and it's really stuck with me, focus. And yes, pretty much like anything, if you're going to get results in life, you need to focus on it and not get too distracted by listening to people like me recommending different ideas. Marketing is pretty simple, I believe. You know, basically setting up a simple funnel, making sure you've got some traffic coming from somewhere that's going to be from your audience. You're going to opt into a list. You're then going to make an offer, but the offer is going to be believable because you've set up your social proof and the copy that you use. People are going to trust you. They're going to spread the word. You're going to make the task easier because you've outsourced some of the elements. You're not going to get dragged down on the platform side of things because you've got people who can do it for you, or you're very comfortable with something like WordPress. It's not going to create too many problems. And you're being consistent. And if you stick with all of that, one, you know, single-minded and you're focused, then good things will happen. I'm certainly seeing that with my AdWords business at the moment because I'm being very focused. It's not easy, certainly not easy, because being entrepreneurial, you want to try out different things and you want to experiment, but unfortunately, that doesn't always lead to success because you can spread yourself too thin. And I've got grey hair to prove that. So a bit of a ramble there, but some structure there with the 10 things that I believe are fundamentals to keep you on the right track to successful marketing. Let's just recap them very quickly. Sorry if there's wind catching up on this this mic. It's all a bit of an experiment, this is. And let me know what you think of it. So we had lists. Obviously, lists very important. I use Aweber. A lot of people use MailChimp. Platform, I use WordPress. Had some nightmares in the past using Moveable Type. And hopefully you're on a platform that you trust and you own the data 100%. 3 was being consistent. 4 was storytelling. 5 was copywriting skills. 6 was setting up your funnel and fundamentally concentrating on how you're going to get a stream of traffic coming into the top of it. 7 was your social proof, using it across all areas of your marketing. 8 was outsourcing. Never get too stressed. There's always someone that can do it for you. And 9 is surrounding yourself with really positive people that are going to encourage you and offer you the guidance in many areas of business. And 9 and 10 is focus. So that's been useful for you. That's pretty much what I'm about when it comes to marketing. No news stories this week. Sometimes I think you can listen to so much news that it can not be too beneficial because it's entertainment. But you know, what do you take away from the show? So I thought this week we'd just get down to some fundamentals that you can kind of look at the situation you're in and say, oh yeah, I've made that mistake, or I can see where Andy's coming from with that. And yeah, just hopefully that's been of value in some way. I'm going to get back to walking Sid now. Sunshine's still out, blue skies. Thoroughly enjoying it up here. And if you want to leave a review, that's tripleyourclients.com/ iTunes. Nearly forgot then. tripleyourclients.com/iTunes if you'd like to leave a review. We're on the grand total of 11 at the moment. Can you imagine how amazing it will be when we get to 12? Make it happen, and I'll read out your review on the next show and give your business a plug. There you go. Couldn't be fairer than that, could I? Bit of a bribe. So take care. Enjoy the next 7 days. Look after yourself and your family, and we'll speak soon. Cheerio.
Have you ever wished you had more visitors to your business website? Where you switch a button and instantly benefit from a steady, consistent stream of new potential clients and customers? One such proven way to do this is by using Google AdWords. Unfortunately, many businesses fail to take advantage of this opportunity, make huge mistakes, and waste their marketing budget. This is why I recommend you head over to tripleyourclients.com and grab Andy's free 44-page report on the 17 ways to maximize your Google AdWords ROI today. Simply enter your name and email on the homepage to have full access to Andy's special report within seconds.